work it, make it, do it. Makes us all the better, faster, stronger.
On 1116 SEN, The Flame with Jason Richardson, featuring the latest from the world of track and field.
And welcome to The Flame Show here on 1116 SEN. It's Melbourne's home of sport and it's Melbourne's home of track and field. For the next half an hour, when we bring you up to speed with everything that's been happening in the world of track and field, I'm about to be joined in the studio by a star of Australian athletics in Sean Rowe. And talk about stars, well, in the sport of track and field here in Australia and around the world, it doesn't get a lot bigger than Catherine Freeman. She'll be joining us on the program. As always, we love your contribution to the show and we'll be putting out a flaming question for you to jump on the Athletics Australia Tour Facebook page and answer. We'll be bringing you up to speed with everything going on in towards London as we build up to the 2012 Olympic Games. But first, let me introduce you to our studio guest. And this man won silver in the 400 metres at the World University Games, gold in the 4x4 Commonwealth Games last year, and of course silver in the individual. He captured a bronze medal in the 2009 World Champs in the 4x4. He's building up towards London. I do talk of Sean Rowe, and Rowe, good to see you.
G'day guys, thanks for having me here.
You're looking fit, you're strong, things are good.
Yeah, things are really good. My preparation leading into London just started the other night at the Zatopek. I started with the 100 yards, and even though the conditions weren't ideal for running, ran a pretty decent time for this time of the season.
For you to run 9.9 and a bit of tax there over the 100 yards, for you as a 400 metre runner, that's good speed.
Yeah, that's the kind of speed that I needed to be at this time of year, but obviously, in the new year, I'll start to run a few hundreds and 200s and slowly work my way up to the 400.
Yeah, tell us about your program, because we are building up towards, all important for you is national championships / selection trials, because you want to get a spot on that team. You want to get a spot on the 4x4 team, because we know how well Australia's gone in the past. We've got a great depth of 400 metre runners. You want a spot in that, but you want a spot individually.
Yeah, definitely. So we... obviously, there's only three spots available, and we've got the depth in Australia that anyone can potentially take those three spots. So it'll be a very tough competition over the summer, and you know it'll be a great kind of outcome to see who gets those spots. And obviously, I'm aiming for one of those.
You had another sample of overseas track and field life over the last couple of years. Do you enjoy the process of going overseas, living the dream as a full-time athlete?
Yeah, it is fun. Like, I pretty much have an endless summer. So as soon as it starts to get a bit cold in Melbourne, I head off and get another 3 months of summer. So I really enjoy it. I get to see so many places and, you know, I'm doing something that I absolutely love.
I saw a lot of guys way back in the 90s go overseas. And the enormity of running against a Linford Christie or a Carl Lewis and the like, they thought the mountain was just too high to climb and were probably lost to the sport. You've been there, you've been amongst the best in the world. Do you feel like you belong as an international athlete?
Yeah, I definitely do. You know, I've been there since essentially 2006. I've kind of been plugging away and doing my own thing and making sure that I'm within, you know, their grasp. And I've raced them several times, all the top 400 guys in the likes of Warren R, LaShawn Merritt. I haven't raced Karani James at the moment because he's, you know, quite new to the 400.
What a talent he is.
Oh, phenomenal talent. So, I mean, I'm in this area of 400s at the moment where, like, they're just unbelievably, like, gifted athletes. But I'm not scared, because at the end of the day, you've got to back yourself.
That's exactly right. To update our audience on what your personal best is at the moment and how that compares internationally. I mean, Michael Johnson's world record looks to be from another world, but if you can break 44 seconds, you are absolute elite worldwide.
Yeah, I mean, if you're breaking 44 seconds, I don't think there's many people that have done that. I think there's only like 7 or 8 people that have done that. So you're in a new stratosphere. So, I mean, my goal next year is to break 45. My PB is 45.07. So I need to get under that 45 seconds. And if I can consistently run in that 44-second zone, anything's possible. You can, you know, make a final. And then once you're in the final, anything's possible.
We've got such a great heritage in the 400 metres. I don't know what it is, but, you know, you go back to Rick Mitchell, who was a silver medalist in 1980 in the 400 metres. We go to the great Darren Clark, who in the mid to late 80s was so strong, and you add in Mark Garner. The list goes on and on and on of these great 400-metre runners we had in the 80s and the 90s. And then, of course, we captured a medal at Olympic level in the 4x4. What is it about the 400 in Australia?
I think it comes down to we've got that kind of determination, like that Australian spirit of just working hard. And, I mean, 400's an event where you need to basically work hard to get those fast times. And I find, I think a lot of the Caribbean athletes, they kind of rely on their speed and their natural ability. And when it comes to doing the work in terms of the lactic stuff that we all hate, they kind of shy away and, you know, stick to the sprinting. So I think Australians realise that if you do a lot of hard work, you can definitely do well in the 400 metres.
And that's a really interesting point. It's also physically, whether or not we can compete with the African Americans in the 100 metres and the 200 metres, whether we have the physical attributes to really tackle them at their number one sport. But we can compensate in the 400 metres with a bit of old-fashioned Aussie hard work.
Pretty much. I mean, I think that's what's kind of happened over the years. And then obviously we've kind of developed that culture, and, you know, the younger kids see, you know, the top guys running decent fours, and they're probably thinking, you know what, I wouldn't mind giving that a crack and becoming a 400 runner.
Now, we're going to talk to Catherine Freeman shortly, and you're going to stick with me throughout the entire show. I'm looking forward to you hitting her with some tough questions because she's one of the great icons. Just bring you up with some latest news in track and field from around the world. Former 100-metre world record holder Asafa Powell, he's taking a new approach in his bid to try to win a gold medal at the London Olympics. He's going to run in a number of indoor Grand Prix meets next year. He hasn't raced indoors since 2004. Have you raced a bit of indoors?
Yeah, I've only run 3 indoor races in my entire career, and that was actually at the World Indoors in 2008, and I came 6th. So it is a different, unique experience because for the listeners out there, indoors is not the traditional one-lap 400-metre race.
No, it's a 200-metre track.
200-metre track, and it's embanked like a velodrome, so similar to the cycling. So it's, it's very different to outdoor track and field.
Good news also, a couple of Americans are coming out to WA on February 11 for the Perth Track Classic. Steve Hooker will go up against US champion Mark Hollis. So that's going to be some good competition for our Flame captain. Commonwealth silver medalist Kim Mickle will take on US javelin record holder in Cara Patterson, whilst Danny Samuels, she'll have some competition because reigning Olympic champion Stephanie Brown-Trafton will be coming out for the WA meet. You'll be running there. Everyone loved running with a nice big tailwind out of Perry Lake, so everyone loves to go to WA.
Oh, it's beautiful conditions in WA. It's unbelievable.
It's always quick and hard. We're only a week until the annual Falls Creek pilgrimage. Craig Mottram, Ben St. Lawrence, and also Collis Birmingham will head off for some additional altitude training. And also, be remiss if we don't say a big congratulations to Craig Mottram, the former World Championship bronze medalist, got married yesterday. Also, other news, Frenchtown Lyon will host the 2013 Paralympic World Championships. Also, talking about Paralympic news, Kurt Fernley, who's a superstar, will be aboard Investec Loyal in the Rolex Sydney to Hobart Yacht Race, which starts on Boxing Day. Is there anything that man can't do? He's done the Kokoda track, and now he's going to go on the Sydney to Hobart. He is literally a freak. We'll also talk about a little promo that Pyrenees Steinert and also Laura Whaler did, trying to promote the Hunter Track Classic. They made their way into the Newcastle Mall in their party dresses and then just did a little strip tease to reveal their running gear underneath. Anything to try to get a little bit of promotion for this great sport of track and field. We're going to take a break here on The Flame Show. We'll come back with Sean Rowe and we'll chat to the superstar, Catherine Freeman.
The Flame on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.
That'll kill me, can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up now, cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now, cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now.
That's how long I've been on ya.
On 1116 SEN, The Flame with Jason Richardson, featuring the latest from the world of track and field.
This is where Cathy exploded in Atlanta. Graham's in front of her. Freeman's got work to do here. There's about 150 to go. Guevara and Mary are right up. It's going to be a big finish. Into the straight, Graham leads. Freeman runs up to her. Mary inside. Cathy lifting. Goes up to Graham. Takes the lead. Looks a winner. Draws away from Graham and Mary. This is a famous victory. A magnificent performance. What a legend. What a champion.
And what great moments there in Sydney. It was a day, a night, I should say, that the whole of Australia stood up and cheered one person. And that person was, of course, Catherine Freeman, who put on the fast suit and captured the heart of the nation. Welcome back to The Flame Show. Jason Richardson with Sean Rowe in the studio. And we talked to the Sport Australia Hall of Fame member and Olympic champion in Catherine Freeman. And Kath, well, we've just relived the moment that no doubt you get to speak about probably nearly every day of your life.
Oh, I get to live with it in my system, which is a nice place for it to find a home. big night.
It is great to hear your voice, and
likewise.
And it's great to see some pictures of you as a mum. How is little Ruby?
Oh, Ruby's she's doing very well. She keeps mum and dad on her toes. She keeps us busy and very happy, very happy.
When we look back at your amazing career, and we'll talk a little about the Olympics, and thanks so much for agreeing to be part of the Flame Show. When we look back on your career, the fact that you were just inducted into the Sport Australia Hall of Fame, after you've retired, it's the one accolade, the one great thing that Australia can do for an athlete is in the Hall of Fame. That must have been a special feeling.
Oh, it was amazing. It really, truly was an honour. Something I am very proud of. Very, very honoured. I feel, you know, I said on the night, because Bruce McAvaney interviewed me, and I told him and I told the audience that I felt like I was in the land of the giants. You know, to be in such esteemed company with such an amazing group of people is, well, you know, it's historic and it's lovely, because I look forward to sharing the evening and sharing that honour with little Rube, actually.
Yeah, with little Ruby. What a great, isn't it fantastic that you are carrying on the flame, as we should say, with a little daughter. You never know. One day, she may be a sports person in some way. There's a bit of pressure on that poor girl. Let's look back at your career, and you probably talk ad nauseum about the Olympic Games. I want to take you a little bit further back when we look at your great career. Considering all the turmoil you had in your life, the 1997 World Championships, to get a gold medal with everything that had been going on in and around your life, I think you should be nearly as proud of.
Oh, thank you, Jason. That's very kind of you. I mean, you know, we spent a lot of time together that year, so you definitely have that inside track. But it was I mean, that's what, you know, that's the kind of demands that professional athletes or professional performers just have to cope with and manage. You know, when things are not rolling along as smoothly as what they are in the personal life, you do have to be, you know, very strong in your heart and mind to remain focused and unsteadied and unwavered in your belief, I guess, to perform when you need to the most.
And especially in a time where you probably, when you look back at your career, you probably weren't in the best shape of your life, and you probably, everything wasn't going absolutely physically as well as it had, say, for example, by the time you'd got to the Sydney Olympics, or maybe even how it was in Atlanta. Yet through, and Sean and I were talking, a little bit of the old-fashioned Australian guts and determination goes a long way.
Yeah, it's a great Aussie trait, that guts and determination. And, you know, folks often ask me when what am I most proud of, and I always say that it's, well, really, it's those times when you do feel like, you know, having a break or, you know, giving up. You know, in 1997, I nearly didn't actually go for the World Championships that year, so it was Murray Plant, the great Murray Plant. He kind of mentored me through that difficult time in my life and got me back on track, so to speak. Excuse the pun. And, you know, the rest is history. And, you know, anyone who's been through a setback or upheaval, you know, it's incredible the reserves you hold within your gut and in your, you know, in your heart when you hate to lose, I guess. Is
I love that theory. Hate to lose.
Yeah, the hatred of losing.
You are mentoring some Australian athletes, Danny Samuels, Brooke Stratton are a couple to mention. We can throw in Sally Pearson, the world champion. Where did you watch that amazing race by Sally where not only did she become a world champion, and it's fantastic for her to join on the track with your world championships, but also run a time that was unbelievable?
I get shivers every time I think about that performance. She's just going from strength to strength. She seems to have such a great head on her shoulders, such an admirable character. She's an endearing, like she's a lovely person. And yet she's so tough, you know, as a competitor. And I love seeing the look on her face when she's competing, especially in those slow motion, reruns.
And what's your message to when you're mentoring athletes like her, but also the ones coming through? Yeah. I mean, Danny Samuels is a world champion, but Brooke Stratton, what's your message? And to, you know, Sean is in the studio with me. What's the message to the Australian athletes?
It's such a personal journey. I think the simple key is just to be happy. And if you keep it, if you stay happy when you know you're happy, you know, that your comfort levels mean it means that you're in a comfortable place. Follow your instincts. If you're not feeling, you know, comfortable, if you're uncomfortable, if something feels like it's like going against the grain of your nature, don't be afraid to challenge it a little bit and without reacting overwhelmingly to it, I think. Communication's going to get you through to a point where you will be happy. And if you're happy, it transfers into your athletics performances.
What's harder, being Olympic champion, winning a gold medal in front of 100 plus thousand and millions watching, or being a mum?
Oh my gosh, being a mum. I take my hat off to all mums. I mean, I take my hat off to all Olympic champions too, but I think with the mum thing, the emotions are just so much more intense, and you feel like, you know, you're a boxer all the time, you know, you're adrenalised and you're hyper because you're so protective, I think.
Oh, fantastic. And tell us about your foundation too, the Cathy Freeman Foundation.
Yes.
You're raising a lot of money, and I'm following you on Twitter, and I hear lots of the great things you're doing all around Australia.
Thank you, Jason. Well, we're focusing on children, Indigenous children, and education, bridging the educational gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous. So our programs, we have five programs all geared towards broadening children's horizons, such as our scholarships, such as our camps, such as after-school activity programs, such as our literacy program, there's five all together. So, and our board are tremendous. Our staff are incredible. The community of Palm Island is the community we're working with at this point, and they're wonderful. They're empowering themselves with taking the opportunity, you know, and owning the programs.
Well, we could sit and chat to you for hours. There's so many things that we could to chat to you about, but unfortunately time doesn't permit that. We hopefully will see you over in London in 2012 cheering on the man in the studio with me, Sean Rowe, plus all our Aussie athletes. Thanks for all the great stuff you're doing, mentoring the Aussie athletes coming through. And as always, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, no, you're welcome, Rich. I say get out of cake for me, the girls.
Hey, I certainly will. There is the one and only Catherine Freeman. Oh, great to chat to the icon that is Catherine Freeman. That is our flaming question. And the prize is an Australian Flame T-shirt. And post your answers on the Athletics Australia Tour Facebook page, where the question will be posted now, or else you can tweet Athletics Australia with hashtag flaming question. Name the two world championship years that Catherine Freeman won the gold medal in the 400 metres. We spoke about one of them just before then. Sean Rowe's in the studio with me, and Sean, we're looking forward towards London. We've got some good news as six athletes clocked Olympic qualifying times in the walk last week. Jared Talent, who's already nominated by the AOC, was joined by Nathan Deeks, Chris Erickson, Ian Rayson in finishing below the 3 hour 59 time required in the 50k walk. And also last week's Flame Show guest Regan Lamble won the 20k walk and was joined by Becky Lee in crossing the line under the qualifying mark. And wheelchair track and field, track and road have returned from Dubai, where up and comer Reid McCracken clocked an A qualifier in the 100 and 200s, now ranked number 3 in the world. Wouldn't that be a great feeling to already have that qualifier locked in the cupboard? Then you can just get ready for the whole season.
Oh, I'd love to be in that boat, but unfortunately I have to go out there and run a qualifying time. But well done to all the other athletes.
Now, when's the first time we'll get to see you run a 400 this summer?
I think we as a team, the 4x400 metre team, have to do a qualifying time. So right. I think we have to do that in the Brisbane meet, which is on the 14th of January.
Yep.
And so all of us will be running a 4x4. I'm assuming there'll be several Australian teams, Australia A, B and C or whatever.
Skin folds, monitoring your protein, monitoring your fat content. All things part and parcel of a life as an elite athlete.
Yeah, it is, but fortunately enough, I can kind of get away with it.
So, you're one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, I just kind of eat whatever and just kind of eat healthy. But obviously, because I do a lot of training, it just kind of doesn't stick onto me.
Don't you hate those sort of guys, those lucky ones? And also, don't forget, and this is important information from Australian Athletics for our big tour coming up. You can get to see the Australian best athletes compete next year as they look to secure their place on the London-bound team for the Olympics. Now, the tour kicks off in Adelaide on January 28. You'll have to run there.
Yep, I think that's when I'm doing my first individual four.
So you do your individual four there. You head to Perth February 11. Will you go there?
Yep, I'll be there probably doing another individual four.
Perfect, into that big Fremantle Dr. Headwind. Fantastic. You'll get the tailwind at some stage. And also Sydney on February 18. That's when it really starts to get all important. And then it finishes in Melbourne, March 2-3, Lakeside Stadium. And, of course, that's part of the IAAF Melbourne Track Classic and the Olympic Trials. You're getting to train out there a little bit. What's this track like? What sort of times can we see?
It's very spongy underfoot. So it's,
not fast for a sprinter?
Well, I can't yet figure it out. I mean, I can't really assess it after Zatopek because the conditions were that terrible.
Right.
Just with the rains and stuff like that. But, I mean, I don't know. It's an exciting time. We can expect new things and new records on this track. So
I think it's going to be a great thing for Australian athletics. This new stadium, we can claim it as our own and build a heritage around it, and that's going to be your responsibility and all the other athletes that like you. Mate, good luck for the trials. We'll be watching you with great interest, and if you can present fit, you'll be very hard to beat.
Thanks, mate.
Good on you. There is the one and only Sean Rowe. You've been listening to The Flame Show right here on 1116 SEN. It's Melbourne's home of sport. And as we build up to London 2012, it's Melbourne's home of athletics.
The Flame on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.